Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And I want to say good morning to my wonderful, beautiful, spiritual, loving, kind host this morning. Good morning, beloved.
Good morning, beloved. Good morning, good morning. This is co-host Minister Tabika Garnes. How are you this morning, beloved?
Oh, honey, I am blessed and highly favored. I praise God for the day. I'm excited about what we're going to be talking about today. And just let me tell the folks real quick, you know, so that any newcomers on here will hear quickly that we're going to be dealing with the gifts today, and we're going to be dealing with them for the next couple of weeks. And I am excited about the information that we're going to be sharing. So I am looking forward to this. Praise be unto God. Looking forward to it. Amen.
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 Yes, yes, yes. And to all of you that I normally call out name by name by name and saying good morning to you, to this morning, give me a reprieve if you would. I'm not going to call all of you out by name today because there's so much that I want for us to cover, and that takes up quite a bit of time. But no, see, here I go. No, Tamika, Joyce, Lester, Teresa, Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dorn, Joyce in New York, Deacon Thomas Farr, Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, all of New Vision people that come on, know that we love you, we honor you, and we thank you so much for joining us every single week. We thank you so much for joining us. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. All righty, all righty. Beloved, why don't you go ahead, honey, and open us up in prayer today.
Amen. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank
glory,
you.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We
thank
bless
you,
your
Jesus.
Mighty name, Lord God. Hallelujah. We give you praise for you and you alone are mighty. Hallelujah. You are worthy. Hallelujah, oh God. We just thank you for another day. We are alive, oh God. We just bless your name, Lord. We rejoice because you allowed us to see another day, Lord God, that you kept us throughout the night, Father God, that no hurt, harm, or danger came upon us, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. So we rejoice, Lord God, because our angels were encamped in our house, Lord God, and they watched over us, Lord. And we just give praise and honor to you, Father, because we know that you have our best interest at heart, Lord God. We know that you want us to grow, Lord God. We know, Lord God, that you want us to discover our spiritual gifts, Lord, so that we can operate in the way that you called us, Lord God. Your plan and your purpose shall come alive and shall embrace it and walk in it, Father. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh God, all of us have a gift, Lord God, and it's just someone to help us discover what that gift is, Father. So, Father, I just pray for those that are on the line, Lord God, that they will listen, they will write, take notes, Lord God, they will begin to ask you questions about who they are and why they were born and why they went through whatever it is that they went through, Lord God, and how you can use, Lord God, the things that they have gone through, Lord God, how you can use it, Lord God, to minister to other people, Father. So, Lord, we just give you praise. We thank you for this platform because it belongs to you, oh, Father. So, Lord, we just say have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way. Heart to Heart is your platform. Hallelujah, God. And so however you want to speak on today and any day, Lord God, Hallelujah. We get out of your way right now, Father God. So, Lord, let us not come with information that is coming just directly from us, oh God. But, Father, we pray that you speak on this platform on today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes,
speak, Father. Speak in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're giving you permission to speak, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whether it's from us, oh God, or whether it's from our listeners, Lord God, speak, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. So we just give you praise. We give you honor, oh God. We love you, Father. We bless you. And we say thank you for choosing us, Lord God. Thank you for trusting us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. Now have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, thanks. You know, we started last week with discovering your God-given gifts, and we did an introduction to it and talking about the fact that, you know, there were three different categories of gifts. And remember, the name of the book that we're using is Discover Your God-Given Gift by Don and Katie Fortune. That's Fortune. It is one of the very best books that I have read, and I've got a library of books on dealing with the spiritual gifts. This is something that I'm very passionate about. And but this, like I said, is one of the best books. So we did a great introduction last week. And one of the things I want to point out to you today as we're going forth, that in mentioning the three gifts, there were the ministerial gift, the motivational gift, and the, look, I'm very passionate and I forgot, ministerial,
motivational, and then it's the, wait a minute, let me get it for you, a manifestation gift.
Manifestation, thank you. I knew it was another M. So motivational, ministerial, and manifestation. The motivational gift is that was placed in you at conception. It forms your personality. It's the reason why you act the way you act and the way that you view things that go on in life. Ministerial gifts are the fivefold ministry positions, positions instead of office, positions that your motivational gift will work in one of those offices, whether you are a minister or not. That type of position is where you could operate from. Manifestation means just that. The gifts manifest. There are different gifts that manifest. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, miracles, gifts of healing, and so forth. These are gifts that are manifested. And that's manifested as you grow in the Lord and you spiritually, you know, you're more connected with God, and these things will be manifested in your life. Please understand this. Whether you are saved or not saved, you have motivational gifts. Remember I said this is what is in you at conception. You have motivational gifts. It will determine your personality and how you view things and as far as the gifts relating to each other, excuse me, you will have the emotions, the mind, and the will. You know, we're triune, like God is triune. We're body, soul, and spirit. Emotions, will, and mind, and the gifts, you know, are coordinated with all of that. It's coordinated with all of that. And a person that operates out of their gift, a particular gift, naturally, and it's coming from the soul that influences, each gift will find it easier to relate to associated gifts and find it more challenging to relate to opposite types of gifts. So in general, we find it most difficult to relate to a gift that is the direct opposite of our own gift. And so let me give you a quick example before we, I'm already going on. Okay, a quick example is when you have a compassion gift, this compassion gift will find it hard to cope with an administrator gift and vice versa, because one operates from the mind and will, and the compassionate person operates from the emotions. And so when you look at this, this will help you to understand, you know, why this conflict in relationships, why this conflict in communication. But once we understand each other's gifts, praise be unto God, this should help to open up lines of communication and place us in a place where we can communicate and we can appreciate each other, you know, coming from the point of view that they come from. Now, the scripture we're starting with today, Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For as in one physical body we have many parts, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use, so we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, and individually we are parts one of another. In other words, we're mutually dependent on each other. And when you look at this, you know, the first thing that Paul is telling us in this is that the body represents completeness, a whole, a totality, but a totality that is made up different parts. And that's what he's saying in this scripture, that we make up the body of Christ, and we have different functions. We are not all the same. We are gifted in different ways. And just as a physical body needs hands, feet, and eyes and ears to enable it to function properly, so the body of Christ needs these different motivational gifts to enable it to function properly. And we are to have unity through our diversity. We should have unity through our diversity. Praise be unto God. And then the second thing is that in this analogy that was given here, we don't have to do it all ourselves. Somebody ought to say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen to all of that. We don't have
amen
to do
all
it all
of that.
Ourselves. Amen, baby girl, amen. We each are supposed to do our part. Others do their part. And together we get the job done. Together we do the work of the ministry of our Lord. So, again, you know, it's very important. And there's something I want to say about that, because I tell you, the devil is so tricky. Okay, let me do the third piece of that scripture. Let me do that, and then I'll tell you if I remember. The third part is that Paul is emphasizing our mutual dependence in the body of Christ. We really need each other. No member of the body of Christ can go off on a desert island and be a victorious Christian all by themselves. God has purposely made us so that we are incomplete without the interaction and the ministry of our brothers and sisters. And so that is something that, again, we all must be aware of. Now, let me go back to the part here where we said that we all do our part, okay? And then together, you know, we work together for the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you how the enemy is tricky with this. When people do find out what their gifts are, and they're supposed to be operating in those gifts, and they start doing what they should be doing in those gifts, then when something is going on in the church, and let's say you're the teacher, so you teach, you do Sunday school, you do sermons on Sunday morning, you teach Bible study, you're the teacher, okay, and then something comes along where the gift of compassion is needed, and you look at that person, hey, well, hey, I'm sorry, I'm a teacher. I can't have any compassion for you, you know. Or something else is going on in the church, and another gift that was the server would be serving and doing and so forth, and the teacher said, I'm a teacher. That's a job for a server. The devil is a liar. All of us have, and I know I just jumped ahead of myself, but all of us have every single one of these gifts in us. We all, because that makes up the whole body. So we all have these gifts in us, but we have our primary gift. And the primary gift is what you operate in naturally. You flow freely in it. You get full of joy in your primary gift. And when you're in a situation where another gift needs to be used and a person is not there to do that, you have that, just like that seed, the faith that's the size of a mustard seed, you might have a mustard seed size of compassion, but you have compassion in you. You see something that needs to be done, you can do it. So don't say, oh, I don't have to do that because of the fact, I don't have to do that because of the fact that that's not my gift. No, that is not true. You don't have to do it, but God has equipped you to do everything. You understand that all of these gifts flow and work by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is in you. And whatever God needs out of you, whatever Holy Spirit needs out of you at a particular time, you should be in tune with God enough that you are able to function and do what it is he would need you to do. You're a teacher. The Lord sees you in front of somebody that needs a word of encouragement, which normally comes from the exalter. So what you're going to tell me, you can't give that person a word of encouragement because you're not an exalter? The devil is a liar. And so, and this is a trick that the enemy uses in the body of Christ once people get to know what their gifts are. They use it to cop out and not do things. But the gifts are, when we learn our gifts, it is to help us to flow, to work, and be dependent, interdependent on each other to work together. Jesus is the only one where all seven of these motivational gifts are his primary gifts. He functions in all of them at 100% capacity. We can function in all of them at different levels of capacity. Does that make sense, Minister Tabika?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, it does. And I was just laughing when you were saying how when someone is asked to do something and they say, well, mm-hmm. that's not, you know, my gift, because I've heard mm-hmm. people say that. And and you know, and I'm gonna say maybe sometimes they don't realize that they can operate in all the gifts, you know. But a lot of times it's because they just don't want to do it, so they use that as an excuse, because they don't want to do it. And I see that in a lot. I see that when it comes to having functions and it's time to clean up, and you know, people disappear or they're standing around, and then you have the servers are the ones that's basically doing all the cleaning up, and, you know, others are just standing around, and they're just looking, and the servers are looking like, well, why is it that nobody else is jumping in to help? And, you know, some people, again, may use that, oh, well, that's not my gift, so, you know. But, again, you know how to clean up. That cleaning up has nothing to do basically with a gift, per se. You know, the service, yes, they don't mind doing it, but you as a person, if you see people cleaning up, you know, you should at least say, what can I do? Can I jump in? I'll get the trash, something, you know. So, yeah, I see that in a lot when it comes to cleaning up. We do have, it looks like Prophetess Kim that wants to say something. One second.
I clicked her in. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I didn't want to stop your flow. I was just going to wait till you finish. But, but I like the teaching is good, and it's true what you're saying. And I just wanted to, because personally, one of the things I always say is there's our gift and then there's a grace. Because I know for me personally, I am gifted prophetically. However, yes. And nobody believes this when I say it, I am not a people person. That is a grace that God has given me. I am not a people person. I personally do not like, and I don't mean it in a bad way, I don't like being bothered with lots of people. Mm-hmm. But that is a grace because of the assignment God has given me. I have to be able to deal with people. So that's a grace. So what you're saying, minister and apostle, is so on point because God will give us the grace to do whatever he has called us to do, even if it's not necessarily our gifting. So, you know, and I'm just thankful for these teachings you all are doing because this is needed in the body of Christ. So I'm just thankful for you all. And I just wanted to share that. Amen. Because I can always talk about me. So I like to talk about me because, you know.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we like that. Amen. That's why we are called Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, so let's look at the gifts in the body. Let's look at the gifts. The first one is going to be the perceiver, and Prophetess Kim, she would be considered what we call the perceiver. Now, and listen to this very carefully, y'all. The perceiver, the eye of the body. Now, let me say this. Everybody automatically thinks that the perceiver is the mouth of the body, but the perceiver is the eye of the body, and that's because they have spiritual insight. They are the most gifted with spiritual sight. They see things, okay? When we study in the prophetic realm and do take school of the prophets and this, that, and the other, there is a class called a school called the school of the seer, okay? The school of the seer. They see things that the rest of us miss out on completely. Matthew 6, 22 and 23 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Now, although these words of Jesus may apply individually, they also apply directly to the body of Christ. The perceiver has a special responsibility of having clear and sound eye with which to detect God's truth. Hear me, folks, to detect God's truth. A lot of prophets, Prophetess Kim, let me say this to you, beloved. I don't know many prophets that are people persons, people. They have to deal with people. And because of the gifting that they have, they can't even allow themselves, you know, to be put in situations for things to taint the truth of God's word and so forth and so on. And of all of the members in the body of Christ, the prophets are the one who cannot afford pollution or sin in their life. And if they do, their sight becomes cloudy. The prophet sees clearly. The prophet will hear from God. The prophet, a lot of people, once they find out you're a prophet, don't want to be around you because they think that you're reading them when you're not. You know, they say, "Oh, you know, I don't want to be near her, because you know she will be able to see this, that, and the other." But the body of Christ counts on the perceiver to accurately identify and proclaim the will of God. And if the perceiver is not walking in purity of life, his vision is impaired, and what he states as truth may in fact be error and lead many astray. Then how great the darkness becomes, how great the darkness becomes. So let me see if I can get you back on here, Prophetess. Do I have you back? Prophetess,
I'm sorry, I have my line muted.
Oh, okay. Now, with what I just shared right, with what I just shared right there, what is your comment on that, if any?
Let me switch you. Give me 1 second.
Just say your thoughts. Not
what
you
said is, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, what you said is absolutely correct. You cannot be tainted or contaminated with things because of the gifting that God has given. that is definitely true. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what you said about being the eyes,
mm-hmm.
because we see. We
mm-hmm.
see the enemy at work when others don't, and unfortunately,
right.
a lot of times it puts us in a position of being ostracized. Oh no, you
yes.
did this, or oh no, you did. But no, we see what others are not seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I like everything.
Mm-hmm.
I co-sign on everything you were just saying.
Amen.
And it's not that we're, as you say, reading people. It's just a
mm-hmm.
gift.
Right.
So you're not looking
right.
to just point things out and pick things out. But let me say this, a prophetic person with wisdom will not speak or share everything just because they see it.
They see it. Come on, girl. Come on, prophet.
Unless God has given you the release to share, everything is not to be shared. Some things are just to pray. Some things,
mm-hmm.
is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to use wisdom even when
yes.
God is speaking to us about a thing, about a person, as to whether
mm-hmm.
or not we should share it, whether we should
mm-hmm.
be praying, or if
mm-hmm.
we're ministering to people, how to minister more effectively. And
mm-hmm.
even when you see things in people that are not, that need to be corrected, even in that, it should be done in love, everything
in
love.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely.
Even
prophet,
correction is in love.
Is in love, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so very
so when
much.
People, yeah, when people beat you up, and that's a gift. That's a
because you have to know how to prophetically minister to people.
Mm-hmm.
The way you have to choose your wording. Your timing and everything, which is also it. That's where the grace part comes in. You have a prophetic
mm-hmm.
gift, but even if I have a gift, if I don't operate with wisdom and grace in it, I will wind up doing more damage, even though God spoke something to me
yes.
about someone.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
So you
amen.
Know, it, so this gift and grace stuff is amen. It's a lot.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Tabika.
Yes, ma'am.
Darling, would you go ahead and share about the server? What part of the body
yes.
does the server play?
So the part of the body that the server plays is the hands. The server
mm-hmm.
is the hands of the body. And in Proverbs 31:20, it says she opens her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her filled hands to the needy, whether in body, mind, or spirit. And so, you know, when we see people serving, they're using their hands. Some way, some in some fashion, their hands are being used, whether it's to pray for someone, whether it's to help out with something, whether it's to be a blessing to someone, but the hands are part of the body. And, you know, when people with the gift of serving, sometimes they
mm-hmm.
serve so much that they can get, you know, they can be burnt out, they can get overwhelmed, because a lot of times servers don't say no. And sometimes that gift of serving, it can backfire in a way if you're always saying yes to everything. And although you may be in a position where you may be tired and somebody comes and asks you to do something, but your gift, that serving gift, that's your primary gift, it's like, I'm tired, but I really want to help this person. So, okay, yes. So it's like you keep going and going, And before you know it, you know, you're burnt out and overwhelmed. And so, you know, I sometimes that server is one of my gifts. It's not my main gift, but it's one of my gifts. And I find that in my case, I get burnt out a lot because I'm going, and I always want to help. And sometimes I'm tired, but it's like if someone needs something, I'm like, okay, I got you, you know. So I'm asking God, even in that, for wisdom and when it's okay to say no. So all of the gifted, when we notice that servers are literally the most capable with their hands, they have great dexterity. They seem to be able to fix or build just about anything. Also, mm-hmm. you know, when this is referred to 1 Corinthians 12:28 as the gifts of help. And so these people love to be helpful anytime, any place, especially if it includes hands-on involvement. My husband is also a server. He uses his hands a lot. When it comes to, you know, like this said, when it comes to building or fixing, you know, he's there to help. He loves building things. He loves fixing things. He's a contractor. And, you know, it's like when people call him, hey, how do you do A, B, and C, you know, he'll sit and walk them through some things, or he'll say, you know, do you need my help? You know, I can come by and help you out. And so like the hands play a part in the server, in that gift. You know, again, always wanting to be helpful anytime, any place. Like I say, you can be tired, but if somebody call and say, hey, I'm having an issue, I need your help, you know, the server is like, okay, what can I do? What can I do? How can I help? You know, so, Apostle, do you have anything to say about the server? Apostle, are you there?
Yes, honey. I am sorry. Okay. I am here. My phone somehow or another got muted. I apologize.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Okay. Yes. You'll also hear of the server being called the gifts of help. You know, that is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12:28 about the gifts of help. And there are times you did everything. I'm looking
yes.
far as the server. So, but what you said right now, that is true about the server, and you and your husband are great examples of it. And one is more, his is a primary gift, yours may be secondary or a third gift or something mm-hmm. of that nature. But and the thing is so beautiful in this, y'all. When you get through this, when we get through this, you will be able to look at people and see what their gifts are. Or you'll be able to, you'll see what the gifts are, or if you're speaking to them, there are things they will say that will tell you where they're coming from. It will tell you the gift that they're operating in. And this is why I love this so much. I love it because people have come to me for counseling and so forth and so on, and I can say, okay, this person is this way. This is why they have to do that. And when I'm talking to them, if it's a couple, if I'm talking to them, I've got to take the what the person is saying that's coming from the compassionate place and break it down in a different manner to the person that is their spouse who is in the perceiver or the prophetic place. The person is compassion. Honey, they see through all kinds of gray areas. There's gray areas in everything with the compassionate person. The prophetic person, everything is black and white. You either right or you wrong. It's either up or it's down. It's either in or it's out. With the compassionate person, a person of mercy, well, she's almost standing up. He's almost sitting down. You know, they almost completed the job. You know, it's all right with the almost with them. It's okay with the in-between and so forth. The prophet is no. If God said do such and such, if your leader said do such and such, you do it and you do it all the way. You don't half do it, you know. We don't want the job half done. But the compassionate person is content with things being almost completed, almost this, you know, whatever the case may be. So, and I don't know why I went off on that tangent.
Amen. I think I'm still unmuted, Apostle.
Oh, okay. Yes, you are.
I'm saying the same because I hit one to chime in, and I said, oh, I'm still unmuted.
Okay.
So I don't know. And I like what you're saying. Again, it's true, and I will share. Definitely the prophetic part of me is totally, it's you in or you out. It's no in between.
Mm-hmm.
But because I am a server as well, that gives me a little more balance. That gives me a little more balance with the compassion piece. But there are still times where it's like, no, I'm sorry, I'm calling a spade, there's no excuse for this or that.
Mm-hmm.
But the serving piece, you're right, it does. It gives you the compassion. Minister Tabika, we also have to have a gift of no. That's a gift. It's not a spiritual gift, but it's a gift. And I'm saying the same because we have to learn, and I'm saying because I had to learn for myself to set boundaries, because if I wear myself out, then I'm no good for anybody in anything, and then I cannot serve effectively in anything, you know, that I do. And so like you say, it may not be your primary gift, but I know that I am at heart. I'm a server. I love to serve. I love to do. I love to help. I love even with the homeless, even at church, as much as my bishop uses me for prayer and different things, I still go in. I clean his office. I mop the floors because I'm a servant. I'm just a servant. So, you know, and I thank God as you were speaking, it's like it brought a new revelation that I thank God that he has gifted me to have a more of a balance with both, because I can be very matter of fact. But because of the service part for me personally, it will sometimes bring in compassion. Notice I said sometimes. So for me, it's sometimes. I am not, you know, I just have to be honest. So, and that is the prophetic part of me, is it's like, no, there's no excuse for this. It makes no sense. So, but again, I'm thankful for all you guys are sharing. I mean, this is so, it's just like, this is just so good for the body of Christ. I wish we could have more of these teachings. No, seriously, because we need the body of Christ. And see, that's another gift, Apostle. I'm a teacher. We need teaching in the body of Christ. We need teaching.
Yes.
So that we can apply these principles in the Word of God and be more effective in our walk with Christ. So I'm gonna be quiet because you know I'm gonna be quiet. But amen.
That's okay. That's okay. You adding to it. But this is good. And listen, if God has his way, may his will be done, and may my will be his will, but it is my desire to do this, it's our desire to do this as a workshop. And prior to this pandemic, you know, I definitely was going to do a workshop on the spiritual gifts. It would have been a paid workshop, you know, people come, and whether we do it 8 hours, you know, day, or whether we do it 4 hours in 2 days, whatever. But, you know, it was something that we were going to do, more and more I see how much this is needed. So we may have to do a virtual workshop, you know, because
you're going to have to do a virtual setup, get your tech people to set you up a private page that people can, you know, get on that page or Zoom or however you do it, and it can still be a paid class, and you can still do your multiple teachers on the teachings and do it, because you know, because we have to be creative. You know, this is just bringing out the creativity in all of us.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to it.
Amen. So listen, you heart to heart folks, y'all are getting something for free here. and to God be the glory. But we love this. We love what we're doing. But let me move on. Oh, just let me say this too. For the perceiver, the prophetic person, the two gifts that helps to balance them out Server gift is one of them. Also, you'll find that they're able to operate in the administrator's gift. And I heard my sister saying that she is a teacher as well. And there are times, you know, I in my spirit, I feel like if I had her do this assessment, I will probably find out that either the server, administrator, and teacher, two of those are going to end up with almost the exact same number on them. They're going to end up with the exact same number because I hear them very strong in what she's saying. But we're going to move on. But here we're going into the teacher. The teacher is the mind of the body. So remember, the perceiver is the eye of the body, the server is the hands of the body, and the teacher is the mind of the body. And the teachers are exceptionally gifted with intelligence. And at first, this may not seem fair to the rest of us, but remember that being the mind of the body, they need to be so gifted. They are always asking questions. They want to know the basis of everything. They will search until the facts convince them that something is true. Please note that these people were commended by Paul for checking out the scriptures, that was the Old Testament, to be sure that their acceptance of the good news had a verifiable foundation. So teachers are researchers. They're checking everything out. They're like detectives when it comes to the word. They're going to search for things. They're going to be. And the thing that I love here says they will search until the facts convince them that something is true. If you're dealing with somebody that that's constantly asking you questions, what they're looking for is truth. And it's not just truth because you said it was true. They've got to be convinced that it's true. So, yes, they're going to dig, and that could be, Lord have mercy, that could be a problem with some other people. You know, and in fact, a lot of times, you know, you have situations where people are in relationships and so forth and so on. One person is more quiet, not wanting to talk about things a lot. Then you have the other person wanting to talk, and they're digging. And that can be frustrating for the person that's being asked a bunch of questions, frustrating for the person that's asking the questions if they're not getting answers. And so, but when you learn that this is how people are, there's got to be a way of compromising. We have a caller that wishes to come in. Your last four digits are 4466. Good morning, and how are you, beloved? Hello? Okay. Hello? Well, they pressed one on their keypad, but they're not saying anything. Tabika?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, can
maybe
you
have
maybe
to mute me again because I'm still unmuted.
Oh, okay, I will mute you, but that normally doesn't have anything to do with it, but I will unmute you. Okay, caller with the last four digits, 4466, are you there? Okay, we're going to go. What, honey?
Maybe it was a mistake.
yeah, okay, so we'll just mute them back. Okay. All right. So the next gift, and after I do the next gift, baby, you do the next one, okay?
Okay.
The next one here is the exalter. The exalter is the mouth of the body. Hallelujah. Glory be unto God. Glory be unto God. Now, Acts 13 and verse 15 says, after the reading of the law and the prophets, the leaders of the worship of the synagogue sent to them saying, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation or consolation or encouragement from the people, for the people, say it. Okay, y'all listen to this. Exalters talk a lot. They talk a lot. God has endowed them with the great facility of speech. How else can the exalter exalt, console, and encourage? y'all are looking at one of the number one exalters there is. I like to talk a lot, and I do talk a lot. Praise be unto God. I do talk a lot. That's one of my gifts, but it's not the fact that I'm talking just to talk. It is the fact that the encouragement, consoling someone, exhorting them, even in my worship and so forth, but exalters, we love to encourage people that they can make it, they can do it, you know, and when someone is not doing well, we can talk to them, you know, to console them and so forth and so on. Now, one of the things that I deal with my prophetic side and the exalter. Now, remember, the prophetic side is black and white. The exalter is not black and white, because the exalter sees always how the what is it? They see what's the word I'm trying to use? The glass is always half filled. Okay, there's always a way that we can win. Always a way that we can win. And when you mix that with the prophetic or the perceiver, when something is wrong in our lives as a perceiver, you know, we see a opportunity for God to be God. So it's okay when stuff goes wrong. God, yes, God, here's your opportunity to show who you are. And the exalter in you would say, yes, God, I know we can do this. We can handle this, God. You can do this. And you're saying to the person that you're speaking to who feels like their whole life is in the bottom of the cesspool, and you're going, yes, baby, you can make it. I know you can make it. And this is a chance for God to be God. So you got the prophet saying, God will be God. You got the exalter saying, I know you can make it. Honey, some people think you're crazy. They think you're crazy. And they're saying that you're rejoicing in their downfall. No, you just see the positive. That was the other word I was looking for. We just see the positive side of how it can work out. We see that. Praise be unto God. Amen. And I'm going to try this caller one more time and see if they're there. Caller, your number 4466, are you there? Okay. All righty. Go ahead, Minister Tabiga.
Amen. All right. So our next one is going to be the giver. And this is the arms of the body. And in Luke 1:51, it says, he has shown strength and made might with his arm. So givers have a great strength spiritually. They extend the reach of every. And so when God has provided two givers or two support people, and in the Bible, they talk about Aaron and Hur, that's H-U-R, who held up Moses' arms until the battle was won. So givers are a strong support to those who are in spiritual battle or out on the front lines sharing the gospel. So in pastors would want givers, you know, to be with them. Also evangelists, when they go out and share the gospel, would want givers to be with them, because they help their strength spiritually, and so they're helping. Like we've done that in the church with Apostle before. Like we've held up her arms when she had moments. You know,
yes.
We came and we held up her arms because we could see that, you know, she was having, you know, a hard time. And sometimes I think we, you know, as we miss the fact that our pastors are human, and because they are pastors and they're constantly doing for us and they're constantly praying for us, I think that we forget that they're human too, and that they have their own issues and problems that they have to deal with. But we're so used to them dealing with our problems and our issues, and, you know, we can call them whenever we want to in some cases, and we can speak to our pastor, and we take that for granted, you know. We take that for granted that we can do that, but then we forget that as we're coming and we're dumping, you know, that our pastor has his or her own issues and family stuff and work stuff and ministry stuff that they're dealing with, and we forget to hold their arms up. So givers, because they are the arms of the body, they're able to see the, you know, notice the weariness, and they want to help to hold people up. And it's funny that the givers are the arms and the servers are the hands. You know, they're quite close together. They you may find a giver and a server. You may find a server that has the gift of giving and a giver that has the gift of serving. So, you know, they complement each other, I would say. They complement.
Excuse me one second, baby.
Uh-huh.
Please continue on. Someone's knocking at my door. Please go on.
Okay. All right. They want to support those. They would be, you know, the ones that they, you know, they reach out to their pastor or evangelist or whatever. They reach out to them, you know, because they want to support, you know, them, because they know that they're in a spiritual battle. So they can give of their time. They can give of their finances. You know, they can give if they have resources, they can give of their resources. So the giver plays a very important role as well. All of these gifts play a very important role. All of them are important. It's just figuring out, you know, which one is your gift. And you can have more than one. As Apostle said earlier, you can have more than one. All right, so we're going to move on to the administrator. This is the shoulders of the body. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." So we often say that someone in leadership is shouldering responsibility, and administrators are the shoulders in the body of Christ, and they carry the load of leadership. Wise administrators know how to yoke up with Jesus so that he bears the burden with them. And so we know in the church we have administrators, and they basically take care of all the stuff in the office. They make sure that the calendar is right. They make sure that the emails are right. They make sure that paperwork and things like that is right. They're also considered leaders because of what they're doing. They're considered a leader. You know, sometimes you may see a prophetic person, you know, be an administrator, like Apostle said to Prophetess Kim. You may see an administrator that's a prophet or a perceiver. They like order, you know. Everything has to be done in decency and in order. They know how to get things done. They know how to put things together. And so, you know, they play a very important role when it comes to being in the office of the church, meaning the physical office of the church. And you can see this. They may even be an administrator at work. They're leading out of the office at work. They're making sure that paperwork is correct, you know. They're making sure that everything is in order when it comes to the business itself. If somebody was to come in and check their paperwork or need something, they're able to go right to whatever it is that person needs. They can go right to it and find it because, again, like I said, they love order. They love organization. Everything has to be organized well. Everything has to be in order. You know, you can't, the desk, you'll even notice that their desk is straight into a T, because they don't like disorganization. They don't like clutter. They're very meticulous when it comes to certain things, you know, making sure things are neat and in order. And so we need administrators in the body of Christ because they are the shoulders. They shoulder the responsibility, and you will see a person that if that's their primary gift, you can tell they just want to be making sure that everything is in order. They want to make sure that everything's organized. If they're in a meeting, you'll see them basically like taking the notes, and then you may notice that the email comes out and their notes are to the T, you know. So yes, administrators hold a very important position in the body of Christ. Apostle, are you back?
Yes, dear, I am.
Okay.
I am. All right. Yes,
amen.
Thank you. Amen.
You're welcome.
And the last of the motivational gifts is the compassion person. They are the heart of the body. And 2 Thessalonians 3:5, may the Lord direct your hearts into realizing and showing the love of God. People gifted with compassion are ruled by the heart rather than the head. They feel deeply loved, they love wholeheartedly and care extensively. They reveal the loving nature of God by showing loving kindness, concern, and mercy to others. So that is the compassion person. And you've heard me, you know, speak about the compassion person many times. First of all, remember, all of these gifts, all of them, very positive things coming from each one of them. All of these gifts are absolutely necessary in the body of Christ. All of them are unique in their own way, and all of them have their challenges. Every last one of them has their challenges. In the scripture in 1 Peter 4:10, let me read that scripture, 4:10-11. Well, let me see here. 11. And it says, whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And looking at this, we know that he's talking about the motivational gifts, and there are two categories in the motivational gifts. Now, remember, with all of the gifts, you have the manifestation gifts, the ministry gifts, and the motivational gifts. But in the motivational gifts, the 7 that we just went over, there are also 2 categories in that. So now, if you take and draw a figure, you know, draw yourself a figure of a human body, just the outside of the body, just draw a figure of the body. And we're going to show you where the 2 categories are, how the people fit in the different categories. The teacher is the head. So if you drew the figure and you wrote the word teacher, you would draw a line from teacher to the head. That's the teacher. The perceiver is the eyes of God. So then you draw the line from there to the eyes, which is on the head. Then the exalter is the mouth. You draw a line from the exalter to the mouth. And the administrator is the shoulders. And so, I forgot to tell you, when you draw the figure, you want to draw a line right above where the heart is. So the line going horizontally would be going straight across. So from the top of the line is the shoulders and the head. Underneath there is the rest of the body. So now the teacher, the perceiver, the exalter, and the administrator, all of these people speak as for God. This is the speaking part of the motivational gift. These are the speaking part. Then
underneath the shoulder, you have the compassion person, draw a line to the heart of God. The giver, draw a line to the arms of God. And the server, to the hands of God. So this, the compassionate person, the giver, and the server, they serve with strength. They serve with strength. So that is the two separate categories of your motivational gift. You have the speaking part of the gifting and the serving part of the gifting. So compassion, giver, and server are from the heart on down, the teacher, the perceiver, the exalter, and the administrator, the head and the shoulders. So that's how they are separated. So the teacher, the mind of the body, must speak in order to teach. The perceiver, the eye of the body, must speak in order to proclaim God's will. The exalter, being the mouth of the body, obviously has a speaking gift. And the administrator, the shoulders of the body, must have facility of speech in order to lead. So these four gifts are the speaking gifts. And then, excuse me, the heart of the body, the compassionate person, is usually not one who likes to get up front and up in front of a group and speak. He would much rather work behind the scenes, serving others through the abundance of love God has given him. The giver, the arms of the body, also has a supportive type of gift, shunning the limelight to serve in the background. And the server, the hands of the body, obviously excels in this area. These three gifts are your serving gifts. Praise be unto God. And let's see here. And for those with one of the three serving gifts, the verse contains a tremendous promise. They are to serve with the strength which God furnishes. God will give them an abundance of strength and energy for their work. We have observed that those with the serving gifts seem to have unusual amount of stamina. And I can say that is so true when I look at Minister Tabika and Elder Mark. You know, even though they do get burnt out and tired, they have energy that just blows me away. They go, they do, they see to it that the job is done, and they see to it that the job is done, and yes, at the end of it, they're ready to pass out from exhaustion. And like Prophetess Kim said, sometimes you got to learn how to say no, but yet. You know, they are the ones that show up with the energy to do what is necessary to be done. So in all of these, understand that whatever gift you're operating in, it must be done. The job must be done. Katie, that wrote this book, she said her husband has a gift, of course, in each category, which we all do, but his primary gift of exhortation enable him to speak and teach well. His secondary gift of giving causes him to enjoy working behind the scenes, encouraging missionaries, and seeking ways to get others to support mission. Katie, that wrote the book, her strongest three gifts are administrator, teacher, and perceiver. And she has that which has motivated her to be in the speaking ministries. She has a keen awareness of the need to be sure that what she teaches is scripturally sound, and she goes to great lengths to research to be sure that she only communicates truth. And so, you know, it's like I said, it's really neat when you are examining the gifts and we get a good understanding of what our gifts are, and not only just ours, but others that are working with us. So we have gone past our 10 o'clock slot. We've gone past our 10 o'clock slot.
slot. So we're going to stop here today, and we'll pick up, if you're getting the book, we're going to be picking up in Chapter 4 on next Saturday, and which says we minister in all areas. We minister in all areas. Again, the name of the book is Discover Your God-Given Gift by Don and Katie Fortune, and approved of by Apostle Etta Banks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, ma'am. All right, darlings. Listen, y'all take care. Have an awesome weekend. And listen, if any of you are not, if you are not going to your physical church on tomorrow, if you're not sitting in on someone else's service virtually, those of you that are on here, excuse me, those of you that are on here and that would like to sit in on our service tomorrow, please contact me. I'm looking. Please contact me, and you, I will see to that you get the link. I should put the link on our website. That would be the easiest thing to do. I'll ask see if Elder West can do that for me. But contact me if you want the information to join us on our service tomorrow. I have a special guest that's going to be with us tomorrow, and I'm inviting all of you to be with us. So just let me know, and we will send you the Zoom link. So with that being said, beloved, I wish you the very best. Have an awesome day, and we'll be back here next Saturday. If I don't see you tomorrow, we will be back next Saturday. Take care, and God bless. God bless you, Minister Tabika. Take care, my love.
You too. God bless everyone.
God bless, honey. I don't know why.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.